For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Yo, in the building, it's your boy, your favorite rapper, your favorite writer, your favorite podcaster, media man. It is indeed a very exciting time in Indeed because it is actually every month is Black History Month because I'm always here, but it is February and we are talking about Black History Month and independent wrestling. And I have a special guest hosting here with me moving forward for a couple of weeks. My brother, you've seen him before if you are a fan of Indeed, if you know the history of this show. Jay Rose, appreciate you for joining me. How are you today?
Happy to be here. It's a shout out to my man's Mike, but I appreciate him being the best ally he could and give the chair up to someone with some melanin. So I'm happy to be here for the month of February. I love independent wrestling more than I love myself someday. So I'm excited to be here for the next couple weeks.
Yeah, you know, coming into this month, I kind of had a plan on what I wanted to do with the show. And I was like, okay, the first round table, I'm going to feature champions. We're going to have the champions here. It's the championship edition. Great way to start the show. Then I get on my Twitter on Saturday, and everyone on the timeline is so upset. Like, people are up in arms. And I'm like, what is going on here? Oh, a Japanese wrestling legend is now the MLW world champion. But on the end of that, the champion that I was going to bring in as the champion, he's still a champion, so it counts. Alex Kane, the suplex assassin, unfortunately lost his championship days before we did our show and sent all of us in the black wrestling sphere into a frenzy. First, let's start there, Alex Kane. How is it off the backs of losing your championship, and how are you feeling so far?
Man, it's been wild. I mean, we all know what wrestling is, so I mean I knew what was going to happen, but I was intrigued to know what the response would be, and the response online was exactly what I thought it would be. But no, man, I'm good. I'm going to, wreck shop even more than I have after this loss. So whomever is up next on the docket is in for a world of hurt.
Great. And then, yo, so on top of that, next in black wrestling history, we got my man Stephen Wolf. And Stephen Wolf plays a couple of important roles because he is now the current New Texas Pro World Champion, and he defeated someone who was making black history. So it's honestly kind of like double black history that was made right there down in New Texas Pro. So Steve, tell me about first that moment of being able to end such a prolific long reign and kind of what it is to represent as the new Texas Pro Champ going forward.
Well, one, thank you guys for having me. I really appreciate it. definitely was a moment to remember, man. I remember the like that show. I was in a ladder match earlier on and, you know, got the contract and all that stuff. And it was just like, I think Brian Keith's 834 day reign, I think it was, mm-hmm. gone in an instant. And like that feeling of, oh, this is actually happening like right now. And it didn't really hit me until, you know, came out, cashed in, hit my splash, 1, 2, 3. And I was like, oh, this is like real. And just like the deafening silence, like New Texas Pro, like we have a super like loud crowd. They're super heavy. They're very vocal. But like in that moment, you could hear straight up a pin drop, man. It was crazy cool. So the idea of, you know, New Texas Pro, one of the best champions at the time, you know, being a black man, me beating him, being the, you know, fourth actual champion that's black, being in New mm-hmm. Texas for the culture and setting that history of winning the title in 14 seconds. Like, it's just history on history on history making moments, man. And it was truly something that was, yeah, it's undefinable how that felt, man. It was great.
So amazing. Both you guys, of course, thank you for joining me. I just want to kind of set the table to know that we got some real live champions in the building representing for the culture like no other. Yo, Jay Rose, I think kind of talk to us a little bit about, you know so much about independent wrestling, about how many black wrestling champions, independent wrestling champions there have been, because there hasn't been a lot, and how kind of how we feel. How we feel when we get a moment like Alex Kane winning a big one at MLW, like Stephen Wolf getting the big victory over Brian Keith. How is it for us in that space?
So for a little bit of lore background on me, I grew up in a Baptist household, two absolutely wonderful people that instilled in me a great sense of pride in being who I am. But part of that came with sporting and athletics. And it's all the mantras remain the same. If our team's not winning, we just gonna cheer for whoever's black. And yes. Growing up as a wrestling fan, there wasn't really a lot of that. Like, obviously, there's what all happened to WWE with no one black holding the WWE championship, not the world heavyweight, you know, outside of Dwayne. Don't you know what I mean? Yes. Somebody who looked like me. Win the WWE Championship until Kofi Kingston in 2019. But even outside of that, when you go to, you know, something like WCW, where there were lawsuits that happened in order to get Booker T his rightful shot to be able to become World Heavyweight Champion. And you would think that that would change on the independent level, not only because, you know, there's far more freedom and expression as far as wrestling style and things of that regard, but simply by pure number of promotion out there. You would think that there would be more champions, and yet, at least growing up in my independent adolescence, there wasn't. There was a lot of mid-card champions. There was a lot of tag team champions, but not a lot of black independent wrestlers holding their own as the top guy in a lot of these promotions. And that doesn't take away from people who came before us. You know, shout out to Xavier, who... Yeah. Even as a champion in the biggest independent wrestling promotion out there, when he won it, was commonly panned the entirety of his reign. No one wanted to see him. It's revisionist history if you think otherwise. An incredibly talented performer. And from that point, it's been very few and far in between to get black champions until about 2018, 2019, where... promoters got it in their head that maybe, just stick with me here, maybe black wrestlers could be champions. And I'm the kicking off point to all of this, which, you know, this is just off the dome. It isn't like I'm not stating this as fact, but it seems like there's a clear before and after period between before ACH won the AAW Heavyweight Championship up in Chicago and an after period. And since then, it's exploded. And I'm just happy that we're able to talk to two of the greatest champions, black champions. No, forget black. We'll just say anywhere. Two of the greatest champions in independent wrestling today. I have a question for both of you. As independent wrestling champions in our climate, do you feel any sort of additional pressure to perform at a higher ability than you do if you weren't champion? And I don't just mean this as champion, but as champion is somebody who has to represent our culture.
Alex, you were on call first, so I'm going to let you.
Yeah, definitely. Because I feel like if you don't perform at a high level, then they're going to be like, oh, well, I guess they shouldn't have made that choice. They shouldn't put that in there, you know, stuff like that. So, yeah, there's definitely an added pressure, and it's heavy as hell. To, you know, go out there, you know, cut good promos, have good matches, have all the check all the boxes and stuff like that. So, yes, there's definitely an added pressure and it sucks. But, you know, pressure makes diamonds.
Exactly. I couldn't agree more. Like being Black and a champion, like it's something that kind of puts you on a level that, you know, like we were saying, people aren't really used to, aren't really relegated to in history or anything like that. So being able to do that and be able to perform, you know, at such a high level that I do, that Alex, that you do all the time, like that just shows why we really do belong there. So it's definitely a pressure, but it's also like a, you know, like screw you, I'm gonna show you exactly how I am. Like I'm gonna show you how great I am.
Yeah.
That's really how it is, man.
Yeah, it's just that kind of how we go through all of life and any kind of facts, any entertainment, any place that we're in is kind of that hungry, go for it, go get them style because we know that we're put on a different place. It's great that you guys are representing for us. AK, I think that for a couple of months there, the most important part of your reign there in MLW was the Boom IA Fight Club because there was people that have never been on TV. There's people that never been in front of these big kind of places that you were given a shot that you were having out there. You'd have some big, big crowds of Black independent wrestlers. Tell us a little bit about that process of getting that organized and onto TV for us.
Yeah, it was definitely tough at first because like I didn't know like exactly how to go about it. Like I would hit up people that I knew that were in the area, and then there was a point in time where like Shug would drive from Georgia to Philly just to be there for me. And you know, in that process, you know, I'm always trying to put us on as much as I possibly can, but you know, sometimes it works out, sometimes it doesn't. But you know, as time kind of went on, and I realized that this is an opportunity. Like, yeah, guys show up to shows all the time. They help set up, they do all that stuff, and they don't even get on the show. And in this case, you're just the thing that gets you in the door is being Black for me. So to be able to have them go out there with me, you know, and share some incredible moments with me in front of the world is pretty dope. I'm going to miss it, but for some time, I'm going to miss it. But it was really, really awesome.
Wow. We'll still have those memories, and it still could happen again. Don't worry. Don't forget.
Still could, yeah.
Count today's bread, man. We coming for you. Yeah. We not done yet. Count today's bread, man.
We after you. Talking about Black champions a little bit earlier, we were, before I came in here, I was doing a little bit of research. I saw that Stephen Wolf has a crazy match coming up. We have to give a big shout out to Deadlock Pro Wrestling for the work that they're doing. They are unsung heroes of independent wrestling, honestly. But they just announced this heavyweight championship match. Jay Rose is a huge fan of their heavyweight champion, as we know. Calvin Tankman, Big Tank, the man, Gringo Loco, and the new Texas Pro heavyweight champ, Stephen Wolf, in a triple threat match. Deadlock Pro is coming into the Texas territory. Texas is such a hot territory. We know I talked an extensive about how great everything is out there. So this is a big moment, I think. Representing as the new Texas Pro champion is a big thing. Wrestling against Calvin Tankman, who is on a run like Jay Rose could tell us more about it, a run like no other. But get me into your mind state going into this, what it's going to be to represent for Texas, and what your strategy is maybe trying to become Deadlock Pro champ.
Oh, that's easy, man. So representing Texas, originally I'm from Illinois. I grew up in a small town called Peoria, about 2.5 hours south of Chicago. It's like right in the middle of a cornfield, right? And so going from that to down here in Texas, where it's just like culture on top of culture on top of culture, it's absolutely phenomenal. And Deadlock is one of those shows that I've been trying to get on for the longest time, but like, you know, dates just haven't lined up, or, you know, they don't have any plans or anything like that. So for them to come down to Texas and to actually be working with my home promotion of New Texas Pro, man, that's like insane. And like you said, Tankman's on a run like no other. Unfortunately, that's going to stop coming here pretty quick. But come on, J-Bo. What? Come on.
You don't have to, it's a multi-person match. You ain't got to get pinned. I just hope you have a good time, bro. I just hope you have a good time, bro.
He said you're getting smoked.
Wow. I didn't say you're getting smoked.
All I'm saying is, like, Tankman's dope, Gringo's dope, but like, my theme song's so great, it's got to be played twice a day. Has to.
Oh, damn, that's crazy. You know,
that's crazy.
I can't even be mad at that.
If you need some weak points on Tankman, I got you.
Mm-hmm. Oh no, we're gonna talk after this because like I can't talk about, you know, my strategy publicly because
not on screen.
I got you.
I can't let him know. So, but yes, I love how on the flyer too, it looks like I got both those titles on my shoulders too.
Okay. That's crazy.
The manifestation is beautiful, but also dreams don't come true around these parts.
I think that's like the one that set him up for it though. Like he didn't do it, he's just standing there.
He got
the light skin face under the mask. That's what it is. The eyes.
That's all it is.
I'm texting. Usually my eyes are nice and orange, but I figured I'd be normal for this. So I'll throw everybody off. I don't even care.
Y'all are wild. J Rose, you're supposed to be unbiased, impartial co-host here. You can't be telling the talent that they're gonna lose the big match, bro.
Big Tank.
Baby. What's on my wall? What is that? Even if you don't know what state that is, we wrote it out for you so you can't forget. You know what I represent. I'm always for the culture, you know what I'm saying? You know, if it were between Gringo, who I love to death, and my good friend Steven over here, Steven should win. But also, Calvin Tateman's in the match.
I don't know how good of friends we are if you over here like, oh, he's not gonna beat Tankman. He's not gonna.
That's my brother.
He said by any means.
Black History.
I love you, but he know where I live, man. If I said that I thought that you was gonna win, he could just pull up on me.
I mean, some points are being made here. You know, you gotta stay close because he has to have eyes in the back of his head. Like you're up there in Texas, like Tankman could pull up right now and hit him with the back elbow.
He can knock on my door. Yeah. He's not that far away from where I live. Like I gotta look out for my own best interest. You know what I'm saying?
Do you feel J Rose like when Tankman is in these positions that he's representing for Knapp and like it's representing for kind of what you guys are building out there?
I hope so. No, we've had conversations before about the another black champion, the weight that he carries as someone who is on the precipice of being where he wants to be. Also as somebody who has been put in positions, title matches previously, and not particularly been able to get the job done multiple different times. The fact now that Deadlock, which is not a black-owned company, but is a company that has nothing but black champions. See, that's another feather in your cap, Steven. Is that nothing but black champions, and now he has the responsibility of following up on not only Bojack, who's an incredible talent, but two black talents who are now signed is an incredible responsibility. In addition to coming back and trying to be an example for kids here, It's a lot of weight on his shoulders, but I don't know if you've seen him. That boy got a broad back. He be eating well, so I'm not really concerned about it. You know what I'm saying?
I'm saying great points Tankman, are being made
Tankman
again.
Tankman isn't a lie. That is a true to him last name.
That is the truest last name anybody could have, honestly. He didn't have a choice but to be a Haas at this point. You bring up some really good points there, J Rose. I kind of want to get into that because I've been kind of having this debate with myself, and you guys will be some great people to kind of weigh in on the subject. They signed Jay Malachi. They signed Lucky Ali. Yeah. They signed these two great, super talented young wrestlers who are going to be amazing. In the case of Jay Malachi, I think like being someone so young, how do you guys feel about signing like up there specifically when you're kind of young in the game, you're still developing, essentially. They're going to kind of be able to get their own mold onto him. And I was like, I don't know, maybe he would have, if he cooked for a few more years in the independent wrestling, kind of developed what he was exactly going to be, maybe that would be more interesting. But I understand getting a bag and getting the opportunity to be on TV, that kind of outweighs the things that I think. So how do you guys kind of feel on like the young, like these, we're seeing 18, 19, 20, 21 year olds getting signed off rip, being in the industry 1 or 2 years. I kind of want to get all your guys' opinions on this young thing. And if it's, I don't want to say worth it, but do you think it could be a detriment to some of these younger talents kind of just signing off rip to the biggest show there is? We'll start with you, J-Rose.
I'm not a wrestler. The two gentlemen at the bottom of the screen probably have an entirely different viewpoint than I do. For his career, he should do whatever gets him closer to the bag. You know what I'm saying? At any point in time, it could be over for any of these athletes. You feel me? So, definitely. Like, I'm never, ever going to tell somebody not to go get their bag as long as they're paying you. You know what I'm saying? You know, I've had some conversations with a few of my friends who have been close to that sphere of signing that contract, and they're like, "Hey, man, I make more money now than I would when I go over there. But if they're giving you the bag, go follow the bag. It's a wrestling university. You know what I'm saying? Now, what they teach you is going to be what they want to teach you. You don't have a full encompassing course as far as what all is going on, but it's a wrestling university. You get paid to learn, and then they make you into whatever they want to make you. It's a give and take sort of thing. And then they pay you. But something that has been a concern of mine is someone who not only is an independent wrestling promoter, but as someone who just loves the indies, that's my favorite type of wrestling. I have been slightly concerned with the fact that there is a far less pool of people to draw from. There's great talents all over the independents, but with people not staying on the independents as long as they used to, it doesn't give us chances to see what all could have been. I love Jay Malachi. I call that, he's my tall adult son. I love him to death. But there's always going to be something in the back of my mind of, damn, what would a Jay Malachi GCW run would have looked like? What would a Jay Malachi West Coast Pro, you know, if PWG ever decides to come back, what would a Jay Malachi PWG run look like? And we're never, hopefully, you know what I'm saying? He's bound for a WrestleMania main event. We're never going to know. And I'm happy that he never has to find that out. And he has to keep working for Lopes. No offense to Lopes, as someone who both takes them and gives them. But there's always going to be that what if. And for example, someone like Brian Keefe got a extended run, a far more extended run than people thought that he should have been signed from. Right. And while I do think that there was a rather long delay from between the time he was ready and the time he got signed, I'm happy and blessed the fact that we were able to see what all a Brian Keefe run would look like. So I think it's whatever's in the best interest of the wrestlers, but as someone who consumes and helps put on the product, I would like to try and see what all it looks like moving forward to someone who is committed to the independents and see how far we can push this run. But that's just me.
Great. Super great point. How about you, Steve?
For me, man, I would definitely say it's a little bit of a almost like a mixed bag, right? So from one hand, like you said, get that money 100%. You got your dream job when you're, you know, 19, 20, 21. Like, that's what we all want, right? Like, just straight up perfect. And, you know, the benefits of that is you're learning the right things to do right off the jump. Yeah, it's like their certain style, but on the same time, like, you know, that's almost really universal. You can entertain any crowd with it, right? And, you know, if things unfortunately don't pan out, you get released, you're coming back on the indies as somebody that's known. You've been, you know, casted to how many families, how many households, so people know exactly who you are, right? But on the other hand of that, if you're going into, you know, any sort of Fed or anything like that, signed at a young age, you are going to be in a spot where it's just like, all right, I don't have a name for myself. I need to make sure everything's on a 10 at every point in my game, period. Which can kind of be a little bit detrimental because, you know, you have to develop for, you know, months on end, depending on, and then you get, you know, your squash matches, then you get finally a little bit more TV time and stuff like that. Or on the flip side, if you do come on the independents, like say Brian Keith, for example, and hit his run on the indies, absolutely crazy. And you're right, he should have been signed a very long time ago with how good he is, for sure, 100%. But having that notoriety on the indies and people knowing exactly who you are, and that pop when you come onto the television and people are like, oh, that's my boy, I just saw him last, yeah, like, oh, like, it's truly, yep. It's another experience, man. It's another world. Like, I remember, I know it's Black History Month, but when Seth Rollins, like, cashed in, won the title, all that at Mania, I was around people that were with him growing up, and they're like, man, I remember when we used to change the locker rooms that are like bathrooms and, you know, changing in trailers and stuff like that. So having that moment of, I put all this work in and I finally got to where I deserve to be, that is something that personally I'm looking forward to.
Okay.
I think, like J-Ro said before, like, if you're getting a bag, get the fucking bag. I mean, don't turn that down. But I feel like being like super young in the business, you think that you're having good matches, you're having these crazy moments and all that, and you think that you're ready for it. And then, you know, you get into that position or whatever, cause they see something, but you may not actually be ready for that responsibility. And I feel like having that time on the independents or whatever, whether it's like a super crazy Brian Keith run or just something, you grow up outside of, you know, that system. Because if you don't know, if you, like, on the independent, you can really figure out who you are. Like at a place like MLW, you can, like, that's how I figured out who I was. If I would have got signed when I started wrestling, I don't know if I would be who I am today. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. I mean, if you're in that system, you're getting paid, you're learning. If you do end up picking it up and being amazing there, awesome. If you don't end up picking up that system and having to come back to the independents, you have something to eat off of because you've made a name for yourself on television. So then you can come back to the independents and learn what you need to learn and hopefully get a chance to go back. But I definitely think it's rough for really, really young kids to go and get signed at like 19. Cause then you also can't rent a car. You know, you're going to have to depend on, you know, some of the older people around you, maybe your parents and stuff like that. So I think from that aspect, it's going to be kind of a little crazy, but it's a good experience to have to learn all these things young. If that makes sense.
It does. That's some great insight from all of you guys, definitely, because I think it mostly just comes down to what you guys kind of described with Brian Keith and independent wrestling as a whole. When Bryan Danielson won those belts at WrestleMania 30, it hit so much harder because we saw him from his inception pretty much into this big moment. And we're losing a lot of the inception points because people are coming in hot in a year and then the next year they're at the big show. And it's like, it's great for them, it's great for the company a lot of the times, but like for independent wrestling, sometimes it could be damaged. But as we know, every time on this show, independent wrestling will never die. There's people like Stephen Wolf, there's people like Alex Kane that are going to continue to represent and continue to kind of shine their light regardless of what's going on anywhere. You brought up a great point, Alex, of MLW. I think recently I turned on their shows in the last 3 months and I'm like, I don't want to say this looks like a GCW show, but there are a lot of independent wrestling talent being presented exactly how they are presented on the independents. And I think that's pretty important with development, because you get to kind of be who you want to be, develop, try different things. And when it is time to go to a bigger show, you already kind of have that experience, the stuff that goes into that. Talk to us a little bit about their production. It's like a bigger production. It's not a small independent wrestling company. Like, it's they have TV deals, they have stuff in place, they have all of this, but it is kind of independent wrestling at its core. Talk to me about like that locker room. Like, how does it, how is it different than another independent wrestling locker room that you're in?
There's no dickheads. Everybody understands what we're here to do, and they execute. And if they don't execute, they get executed. Yeah, they get executed left. Like when I signed, they told me, think of this like college before, you know, moving on to, you know, whatever the two companies are, or three. And that we already see something in you that we can mold into something greater. So like they'll take whatever you bring in as like a base. They have their own vision for you. And I always tell the young guys coming in, like, it sounds cliche as hell, but trust the process. Cause like there definitely was a, like, maybe the first two tapings where I was like, I don't know, like this doesn't seem right, or this doesn't seem like this. But once I like buckled down and was like, okay, I'm just going to trust you guys and see where this goes. And it's led to some really great and awesome moments. So I always just tell them, like, whatever they tell you, just do, because like, you'll get to a point to where they trust you. Like when it comes to promos and stuff, at first it was whatever was on the page, say this word for word. And as you start to find yourself and, you know, get comfortable with yourself speaking in front of a camera, they start to give you a little bit more and a little bit more and a little bit more, to where you're now speaking from the heart, or you're speaking off of emotion instead of, you know, just trying to remember all of this verbiage. And like, when it comes to the independents, like, there aren't a lot of people cutting promos. There aren't a lot of people like doing that side of the product, the promotion stuff. Yes. Yeah, I know. And
like, you mean the car promos aren't enough?
Oh my God. The car promos are so bad. They're so bad. And I'm going to be here, and at this time, at this date. I mean, yeah, you got to tell people when and where it's going to be, but like give me some character.
It's different, right?
Yeah. It's really, really different. So like, to go to MLW, which before I got signed, like, I had always said on podcasts and stuff, that's where I want to go and like hone my skills, because my style and MLW's presentation kind of go hand in hand. Right. So like, I'm always just like, bro, look, come in here, do what you got to do, trust the fucking process. Always be asking questions, and, you know, see where that takes you. If it takes you to the heights of where you want to go, awesome. If it doesn't, at least you'll learn something.
Amazing points. You guys are on some stuff today. J-Rose, the points that you made earlier about, I asked you about kind of the history of the black wrestling independent champion. And like you said, we've come a long way. I think that's where we can land. Making the BW 500, I think the first couple of years, it felt like a task, a heavy, heavy task to find all these talented people. Now it's like, there's too many. Like, I can't even, like,
too there, easy.
It started at 500. There's probably like 1,000 black wrestlers in the world now at this point, 5 or 6 years later, which is insane. So
you,
I think,
still got all these all white posters. It's crazy.
And I still got, you know, some white boys kind of slide in there. I don't know. It's an accident, you guys. It was not. It's an accident. Okay.
Hey. No. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the posters of the shows. You have 500, oh, yeah, you still 1,000 black wrestlers in America, and that's then there are shows on that, yeah, only have white people. I mean, I guess I'm. That is what that is. That's the landscape. It's the majority still. But like, you cannot tell me that in your state there are not black wrestlers that are talented enough to be at the top of your card. Like, you are bugging.
Yeah, that's exactly where I was getting to. It's like, there's 1,000 of them, and like, not all of 1,000 of them hit, but good number of them are super talented and can lead these companies. They can lead these feds. They can lead a generation. Like, they're changing the world I was going to say, why do you think it's still like, why do I still go online and see a card and I see no representation? And I'm like, I'm not watching that shit. Why does this still
happen? You go, Kane.
Because these promoters, for some reason, think that black people don't watch wrestling. Like,
the words went out of my mouth. How?
I don't know. I have no idea. Maybe they're not on social media. Maybe they're not paying attention. But like, you have like all these shows that I always go to. Sometimes I'm the only black dude there, which is mad weird. There's all these little black kids in the crowd, and other than me, they ain't got nobody to like connect to. Like, sure, they can connect to any character on the show, but like, there is something about seeing somebody that looks like you doing the damn thing.
Yeah, 100%. Like, for instance, like when I was a kid, like, who did I have other than like Shelton Benjamin? I'm like, oh, he moves like me. He does this. He jumps. He does, and he's a champion. That's like crazy. Never once held like a world championship, which is damn near disrespectful. Like, if you think
asinine,
you know. And so I feel like people still have, like you were saying, man, like they don't think black people watch wrestling, or they don't think like for some reason we don't fit that mold that we can be, you know, up front, you know, main eventer with them. And it's bullshit, bro.
Like black wrestlers like, have to check like a bunch of like thousands of imaginary boxes to just be in the same spot as their white counterpart. These are facts. Because Montez Ford is, in my opinion, that man could be the next Rock. He could right. he could be on that level, but he's got to check all these other boxes or whatever, not being a tag team, this, that, and the third to get into the spot. When I know this man has got it, you can see it. You can see he has it. But we are here playing games.
Well, the problem is, like, if a black man has a little bit too much swagger, too much confidence, he has all this, it makes people feel, like, one, intimidated, and two, it's like, oh, well, he's hiding something, or he's, like, he's doing something shady. It's like, no, he just knows exactly who he is.
It's not arrogance. It's Leo Rush. Like that. Like,
he knows you good.
Yes.
Like, this is one thing I love about Court Bauer. Court Bauer, if, like, I know he gets a lot of flack from a lot of people, but if there's any promoter, booker, CEO on this planet that is for the culture, it is Court Bauer. And that man, he never told me to tone down who I was, never told me to tone down any attitude. He actually told me to turn that shit up. Turn that shit up. He allowed me to be who I am, who I've always wanted to be on that screen and flourish. Mm-hmm. And I will love him forever for that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's exactly it. Kiefer Bartek with New Texas Pro, same exact way. And if you look at all the champions, you know, JJ Blake, Mysterious Q, Brian Keith, Steven, we're all black. Like, he may not be a black man himself, but he is 100% down for the culture. Women's champion right now, Danny B, a black woman. You got Timor, who's part of the, or he was a former tag team champion with him. But man, he just wants, you know, everybody to see what, you know, the culture, whether it be Hispanic, black, anything, like, get down and show that we can be great too, because we are.
And the thing that I like the most about Kiefer is that, like, there are some people where you can feel, I'm not going to name any names, but, like, as long as people get booked, you know, I guess I'll shut my mouth, but it feels like they're pandering, you know what I'm saying? It's like, oh, look at what we're doing. Kiefer seems like he's simply putting the best talents in the positions to get the best exposure. It just so happens because, you know, I almost curse, but just because there's a lot of black talent in Texas, well, just so happens to be that those are the best talents, you know. Right. No disrespect to anybody else, that's just the way it needs to be. So, and to answer your question from the other end of the spectrum, the reason why we don't particularly see as many black talents in positions to succeed is you want the truth that may get me in trouble?
Me the truth.
You want the truth?
Yes.
Okay. So, you know, I said that there was a clear before and after period between ACH winning that AEW title and then the after period, right? But it was still a couple of years before we got to the point where black talents were being featured. In the wake of everything that happened with the 2020 Black Lives Matter movement, there was a clear, defined case from promotions all across the board, you know, at least in America, to book more black talent because it was the in thing to do because people had pressure on them to do so. as soon as the world opened back up, you know, independent wrestling died down, at least from the point that it was in 2020, where it was the only game in town with live crowds. Promoters didn't feel the pressure anymore to book black talent. And the demand in their heads just isn't there. When in reality, you could continue to grow your fan base to reach out to other cultures if you continue to serve those cultures.
Right.
While including the plans that you have now. I'm not going to name any names, but there's been a lot of promotions that were very gung-ho. Look at us. We're featuring black talent. Heading into the Black Lives Matter stuff. And in the midst of the Black Lives Matter stuff, and you look at their cards now, and to steal a phrase from Donald Glover, it looked like one Cocoa Puff in a box of kicks. And because they simply do not see the value in it anymore. There was value in it when everybody cared. And that also speaks a larger problem to the country today. But this is a wrestling podcast. We ain't got to get into that. But
we're going to talk later, Jeros. We're going to talk later.
We always going to talk later, baby. But like, it's because there is no pressure, and they don't see a priority, and they don't see the dollars that are associated with it, mostly because they're not sticking with a project long enough, a project, a person, a philosophy long enough to see the results of it. But that's a bigger issue than just booking black talents. Regardless, because they don't stick with anything long enough, they don't see immediate results. Because they don't see immediate results, people like us just don't get booked. Simple.
That's super interesting, J-Rose, because we're in Black History Month right now. And 2 years ago, 2021, how many black wrestling history shows were there? It was fun. There was like, Tom was like, man, everybody's doing a Black History Month show. This year, I'm looking. You know,
Fight. That's it.
That's it.
And that, but we'll get to that later.
That's every month. But yeah, it's like you see how quickly it was like, yeah, we're performing, we're doing this. I'll put Black Lives Matter, Black History, all that. And now it's like, nope, we're back to normal. Like that was just a thing for that. It feels kind of frustrating as a black wrestling fan, honestly, and somebody that is in tune with that and wanting more of my people on these shows, not as some cliche bullshit, you know?
Mm-hmm. Like, it's, you know, it's the thing that you, wow, 1, 2, 3. It's not frustrating to me is the fact that people don't do the all black shows anymore. It really doesn't, because that was never the goal. Part of the team for the first three for the cultures. The goal was to never continuously have more all black shows. The goal was to get black people booked regularly on regular shows. Yep. So the fact that they disappeared is fine. The fact that isn't fine to me is the fact is like for the people who still do, because there are some people who I know that are planning stuff around the month of June, but they're not booking black talents for the rest of the year. And I'm going to get myself in trouble. It's also very frustrating to see, at least for the people who support independent wrestling, black independent wrestling, the promotions that, and I'm not even talking about myself. Fuck Nat for a second. I cursed. Dang it. But fuck Nat for a second. It's very frustrating to me to see the
promotions. Using your cuss word to say it on your own company is really funny. You know, like you got one curse, and to use it to say it, Nat, is just, it's ironic and funny. That's it. That's all I'm saying.
Forget Nat for a second. It's frustrating to me to see the promotions like New Texas, like Action, not get the support of black wrestling fans when we're doing the work that they're asking, when the promoters are doing the things that they're asking. But I'm not going to speak anymore because they're going to get mad at me. So,
like, I think it's like, was it this year and the beginning of this year and the beginning of last year, I put out a post. Or whatever, but no, actually, it might have been last year, it might have been when I was national openweight champion. But I put out a post saying I want to wrestle more black talent. Now, generally, you would think, oh, okay, he just wants to wrestle more people that look like him. The fact that it was a problem to some people, like, oh, why do you want to only wrestle black talent? I'm like, dude, it's not that. It's the fact that I, like, when I was MLW world champion, like, I like. they weren't going to let me defend it in the States too much because it's the world title. If anything, more international bookings and stuff like that. Uh-huh. But if I could have pieced together some bookings or got with some promoters with letting me wrestle against their top black talent in their state, their promotion or whatever, I probably could have defended that thing all over the state. I mean, not the state, over the nation. Mm-hmm. But neither one of those posts really went anywhere. Like right. You got people liking it, people sharing it, it going crazy, but promoters not being like, you know what?
Because they don't connect the dots. They don't see the money.
So much easier to like a post and be like, you know what?
That's right.
That's a good idea versus, oh, hey, let me do something about it.
Yeah.
They're just thinking somebody else will do it. I ain't worried about it. Somebody else will do it. It's like, no, you do it. Put in that work. You want your stuff to be great? Do it. That's all you have to do is just do it. And you will see that it's going to pay off 100% of the time.
100%. And black wrestling, black wrestlers, like man and woman, we show man, woman, non-binary. Yeah, sorry, my bad. But okay.
All across the gender spectrum.
We show you every year, all the time, 365, that if you want something different for professional wrestling, book black wrestlers. We are the blueprint. We are the blueprint. Quit playing with us. Stop playing.
That's what I'm talking about.
You got him, Jay Rose. You got some more, Jay Rose?
No, I'm going to get in trouble. So no.
Get in trouble by who?
By whom? You're already in the places you need to be, big dog.
Listen, they've taken so much from you, Reg. They can always take more.
Whatever you're about to say.
Hey, Jay Rose, in honor of Carl Weathers, there is no tomorrow. So say what you got to say now. Get it off your chest.
Keith said it.
I'm not even trying to censor myself. I'm trying to figure out a way to piece together what I want to piece together. It's infuriating to me. I'll just fucking say it. It's infuriating to me that a style of wrestling that was innovated by, you know, luchadors and then brought to America by black people is continuously used and showcased on people who aren't black or luchadors for that matter. You know, Too Cold Scorpio, and you can debate, I go debate with Meltzer, I don't give a fuck. Too Cold Scorpio brought the 450 to America, and yet when I look around on shows, the majority of the finishes that involve 450s do not involve black people. The Pounce, a move innovated by Monty Brown. I see the Pounce all the time. You know, thank God the one person who does it on television is a black woman, but I see the Pounce all the time. Not nearly enough of those people are black. It's continuously having our culture, specifically in wrestling, which is the craziest part, because we ain't even accomplished that much for y'all to steal from. But all different parts of our culture continuously stripped away from us and placed somewhere else so someone else can do it and profit off of it. And yet the same person can do the exact same thing to the exact same ability and not get the same results. But that's the plight of being black, you know, in America.
That's just the way it is.
His biggest career, you know, his rap thing, that couldn't have happened with a different wrestler. Like, it had to be John Cena. They only accepted that because John Cena was giving it up. You know?
R-Truth was doing
this. No, this is about the John.
Okay. Let me
you got it.
So
you got it.
Problem is, it's not just wrestling. It's literally every facet.
Everything.
In America, or just in general, is like, as soon as it starts to get popular, and then other races say, oh, hey, we could profit off of this because this black man did all the work. Then they say, all right, cool. I'm on a bigger platform. I'm going to do what they're doing. And everybody's going to think that I did it first. So, like, I'm, you know, the new hotness versus giving props to where they're due. You know what I mean? And it's absolutely ridiculous. It's just, it's theft is what it is, but nobody wants to call it out and nobody wants to see it. They just want to say, oh yeah, no, that's good. Okay. Yeah. Oh yeah. Sure. That guy did.
Or whatever. You should want to share your culture with everybody where it's a melting pot. Stuff like that. But I'm like, if we got the same recognition for these things, then we wouldn't, I honestly think we wouldn't be like, bro, like what the fuck? But like, because it's not, it's like, it's taken and it's never, and the, you never get, we never get the credit for it. It's just
you're
taken.
Nicer than me, man. You're nicer than me. I'll say it. Screw it. We need to bring back gatekeeping. Y'all need to know everything that we be doing. Let's just call it as it is. We need to bring back gatekeeping. We've shown you too much, and now you made yourself at home and real comfortable. No, you can't know what I'm doing. What is it? Next time I see a social media post with something that is clearly black and someone's in the post like, oh, what does this mean? Don't tell them. For what? So they, if they want to feel included, they can go do the homework. They have Google image search. Just take a screenshot of the video. You can find it that way. I'm not helping you no more. We're bringing back gatekeeping. That's what I'm on.
That's what Alex is on, dude. Every day I see something where he just quote tweets it with melanin deficient.
Yeah.
And I die every single time. Every me and you like put up the quote tweet, I've seen it on my phone because I'm like, I'm using this shit. I don't care.
Yeah, there, I see it now. Somebody's gonna take a clip out of this and be like, "See, look, is this the wrestling promoter y'all want to work for?"
Yeah.
I see it right now. Yeah, well, y'all want is for y'all, obviously, but like, they're gonna be like, "I can't believe you know who he associates with, right?" And whatever. Continue, Reg. I'm sorry.
We still kind of piggybacking off of these conversations. We still kind of run into the.
You're right. And Angel does get its wings.
We still kind of run into this. A lot of the we're at a progressive place, I think, in you know black wrestling space, but we still run into a kind of a lot of the same issues. Like a lot of people see Boombayah Fight Club and say Nation of Domination.
These are two completely different worlds,
but there's still people that say that. Like, talk to me about it, Alex, on how it feels.
It pisses me off.
Nation of Domination.
The Nation of Domination had a completely different mission than the Boombayah Fight Club. Like, and it was in a completely different time. For the time in which they existed, it made sense. And they still gave him a bunch of bull crap or whatever for it. They should have been, the Nation of Domination should have been dominating or whatever, that entire company. You can call it the Nation of Domination.
Mm-hmm.
Boombayah Fight Club, Boombayah is for the people or whatever. Yes. Mm-hmm. Mainly for the
people.
But also the thought behind it was a little Black Panther-esque because yes, the Black Panthers power to the people or whatever. They weren't denying anybody else or whatever because they were working for the working man. But like also not everybody could be in the Black Panthers. You didn't have a bunch of melanin deficient hoes in the Black Panthers. Same thing with Boombayah Fight Club. I am here for all of y'all. We're here to have a good time as long as you're anti-racist and all that good stuff. But I'm not about to have an Owen Hart. It's not gonna happen. I joke about it a lot, but it's not gonna happen. because like there are what we have Boombayah Fight Club, you have STP. As far as factions, Bobby Lashley's thing that Hurt Business 2.0 that he's putting together.
The good man. Well, there's a white guy in good hand. Never mind. Well, my fault. Yeah. Continue.
I'm trying to think of other like all black factions that exist. I think there's what is there? Four? I think there's
Lights,
four.
Camera, I mean, faction. They're smaller, but you know the New Day.
Okay, Lights, Camera, Faction. New Day. My bad. Sorry, yeah. Biggie. So you got about what, 5, 6? There's not a whole lot. There's been thousands of all-white factions or whatever. So many.
I'm really trying to think. I can't think of no more.
The black factions, like, even though it's all black, everybody from all walks of life, they get in on it and they fucking love it. Yeah. But it's not exclusionary. It's just like, can we have something for ourselves and we can all have a good time with it? That's how I see it.
Everybody don't got to be invited to the cookout.
These damn cookout invites need to stop.
The cookout don't exist. We can barely get along with each other.
It doesn't exist.
It don't exist.
I've never gotten an invitation. Now I'm of the culture.
You did a dance move. Cool. Great. Awesome. Go on somewhere.
We gotta, yeah, no, let's get into that super chat actually. Van Twin Blaze says, sup, you dorks. Glory Pro Anniversary 6 is gonna be fire. Big Gay Brunch 8 was better than the Rumble. Also, Peoria ain't a small town. Don't be humble, Stephen.
It's big, Stephen. Hey, it's big.
Hey, look, if, comparatively to where I live now, Houston, it's a smaller town.
Oh, yeah, okay.
I had a fight for my wife not to call it a village for the longest time. So, wow. Yeah,
a village is crazy. Yo,
that's crazy.
That's low key disrespectful.
That's crazy.
Negro,
a village, no, big bro.
Ridiculous.
Like you in, like, wow. You're, like you're in Pokemon, bro.
Man,
like,
that's you get from some third world country or something like that. Village you used to live in.
It felt even smaller being a token friend for every single group that I was in.
Damn.
Like, man, crazy.
You're in South Park for real.
Story after story. Yeah, Tolkien. Tolkien this whole time. No.
Real quick, I have the card pulled up for the Glory Pro card if you want me to run through it very quickly.
Yeah, run
through. We have this is February 18th.
Same day as the All-Star game in Indianapolis. Don't forget it, y'all.
February 18th, Sunday, Glory Pro Anniversary 7, actually. We have Dan the Dad, Cody Lane, and ATM versus The Crew, which is Mike Outlaw's faction with Raheem De La Suede. I do not know the third individual in this, but he's black, so I'm rooting for him. Moses, not of STP, but St. Louis Moses against Ethan Price. The deliver against the Philly Marino Experience for the United Glory Tag Team Championships, which you've held, right, Steven? That's correct.
Yes, yep, me and
you and Myron, right?
Yes, sir.
All right, look at me, my brain working for once.
Yes,
my dear close, longtime personal friend and bane of my existence, Ali Catch taking on Maggie Lee, Steph DeLander taking on Tootie Lynn, and is that the – no, okay. I'm trying to go in order from – so the last one. Dak Draper and a mystery partner against Lainey Luck and a mystery partner. Friend of the program, Camaro Jackson, taking on the returning Stallion Rogers. Indianapolis' own Rachel Armstrong in a fatal four-way match against Lady Bird, Heather Reckless, and Blair Onyx. And assumably the main event, the Sauce, Alex Zane, challenging the reborn Warhorse, Jake Parnell, for the Crown of Glory Championship. Once again, that is February 18th at Casa Loma Ballroom in St. Louis proper. Tickets start at $25. Go support Glory Pro. Go support all St. Louis wrestling. I'm pretty partial to the good folks of St. Louis Anarchy, but great people over there in St. Louis wrestling.
I want to come back, man. I want to. I've been Glory Pro. Like, yeah, the whole Midwest.
So I didn't get my license out there, but them physicals is expensive.
Yeah, you said yes.
That's the worst part about it, man. I'd be in Missouri all the time. I would have been, like, even when I was in Illinois, I'd just be there, you know, casually. And then, like, once it runs out, it's just like, dang, all right, well, let me go through the whole entire process again that I just love doing with doctors. It's great. But
so I got to ask, right? This is for the both of you. Alex, obviously, with the fight team. Boumaye for the people, and Mr. Wolf with you and our good friend Exodus Prime and Superiority Complex. Y'all have had a litany of partners. You know, technically, Alex, you're part of two very successful factions right now. Not only your own Boumaye Fight Club, but also the Good Hand. Is there anybody specifically black? But you know, we're an independent wrestling podcast at the end of the day. So, is there anybody who you're looking to partner with or team up with for the remainder of 2024? Anybody who you would like to add to the Boumaye Fight Club, or anybody who you want to add?
Great question.
I know that she probably doesn't want to wrestle anymore, and I can understand that. But I think having Big Swole in the Boumaye Fight Club would be money.
That is what I thought you were going to say, but that's fire.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to say Faye, but that's fire. I wasn't even
Faye's already
that.
In the Boumaye Fight Club. She's the first.
No, when you said active competition, but you know what? You got me. She is already in it, but that would be great.
She's already in there. Whenever she decides to come back to professional wrestling, she's gonna be in there. Anything to say about it. I wanted Jordan Blade in the Boumaye Fight Club, but
they all doing their own thing.
Left doing their own thing. I mean, no. I'm not dissed for that or whatever. I'm glad that she's finally, you know, getting her shine. But you know,
you just want her on the Boom Alley Fight Club.
Fight Club. But the powers that
fits
be,
like a glove.
I make these decisions, but I also don't make these decisions. Camaro Jackson. One, I want to wrestle him. Two, I think he'd be a good fit.
Noted. Got it. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Put that in there.
Write that one down. Gotcha.
Please write that one down. Man.
Continue.
Right. That's just off the top of my head. I can't really think of anybody else right now. Who would you like to see join the Boom Alley Fight Club?
Steven Wolf. Good answer.
Woo, woo, woo.
Hey, bro.
I'm being biased. I think my homie Alpha Zoe from out here on the West Coast would be.
Yes, we were talking about it. We were talking about me and him were talking about this or whatever. If not on the East Coast, if I could find, I mean, it would be dope to have a Boom Alley Fight Club, not variant, but like
different divisions.
Different divisions or different chapters in every corner of the country. That'd be fire. I just don't know how to put that together. But having Zoe in there would be fire too.
That's a really good
tag team matches that me and him could cook up.
I'm saying.
I would also like to say seeing Steven in there would be absolutely great. I think because Bougie's all around her. I'm trying to think of somebody who could, you know, you're obviously like you have a heavy, you know what I'm saying, mm-hmm. Mr. Thomas. You're the powerhouse. You're the leader.
Eel,
you know what I'm saying?
Eel. There we go.
That's a good choice.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know what? Fuck what I was going to say. Eel's my pick. That's
really good.
My alternate, you know what I'm saying? Someone who could bring something completely different, especially with, you know, RSP and Sammy running around doing whatever they do. Hoodfoot. Because he's one of the only people that does the style of what he does.
Deathmatch.
I've always told the powers that be that my ambition for the Boom Alley Fight Club is to have at least somebody in every division, every style or whatever, so that we can dominate MLW or dominate the world of wrestling. But for right now, dominate MLW. If sometimes I feel like it's coming together and other times it feels like it's not. But bro, it would be fire to have like Hoodfoot, Eel, and all that, along
and
with
Shug.
Shug, bruh. Don't get me started on that.
Never mind. My fault. I feel like I struck a nerve. I'm sorry. Steven, what do you want to do in 2024?
Oh my god, bro.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
You might get everybody in trouble.
Hold on to that
one.
You've had crazy like tag team partners. You know what I'm saying? Not only just Exodus. I know you team with Myron. I know you team with Trey Miguel. Team Eat Chips. You know what I'm saying? Is there anybody? I know you're probably really focused on doing stuff with Exodus right now. But is there anybody else you would like? Obviously, your significant other. I would assume. You know what I'm saying? But is there anybody else who you would like to, you know, wrestle with this year or against? Since Kane mentioned someone he wants to wrestle against, forget it. Just tell me who are you looking to share the ring with, one way or another.
Ring with me.
So if we're talking black wrestlers, because like you said, Myron, Trey. Actually, it's funny, Camara. Oh yeah, I mean Alex. Of course, I want to wrestle you, man. I've been trying to get that for long. I'm one of the people that like the tweet about like I want to wrestle more black wrestlers. But yeah. But like I've teamed with like Mike Outlaw and Camaro Jackson. We were grown man business up in AAW for a little bit. So like basically been put with like, you know, black flippy guy insert here. That's basically been my role for a long time. So I enjoy being the singles competitor right now and really like forging my own path. I got a group now out of the pack. I got Casey Kareem, who's
you do.
Yeah, I got him right now. No, you good. I got Casey Kareem, Danny King, he's Mexican, but he's honorary, so it's all good.
You're in Texas. We get it. I understand.
Come out to a song by the pack. That's my question.
Exactly. No, unfortunately, we don't.
Oh, come on now.
I got to have an old custom theme now. Come on. But
I'll pay good money for that.
Right. Somebody that I would like to definitely wrestle or even like, you know, come in as like a mentorship role for the pack for Steven will be Shane Taylor.
Oh, my God.
That man is so smart. so eloquent. You were talking about like how promos really aren't a big thing on the indies nowadays. That man can cut a promo. I've seen a match of his where he's just beating the hell out of somebody and cutting a promo while he's doing it. Like Booker T and like old TNA type days, bro. Like it was so cool. And that's one guy that I'm like, yeah, man, I feel like one, I could learn a lot from him. And two, I'm gonna get knocked the block off, but it'll be worth it. But yeah,
Texas connection too. You know what I'm saying? Both of y'all are Texas imports. You know what I'm saying? So
exactly. But yes, Alex, we need to share a ring by the end of 2024. This needs to happen. Let's put it out there.
Write that down as well. Yep, I got you.
write down me versus Shane Taylor also. Write that down.
Hey, man. I'm not going to hold you. That match sound – no offense. Either one of y'all, that match sound a little expensive. You may need to ask somebody else to do that one. I'm not saying it's not going to be – I'm not saying it's not going to be good. I'm just saying I don't think I had the funds.
Hey, you
one.
Are –
you going to get on Twitter tomorrow.
You on TV. Well, I mean, he on TV. I don't know if I have the facilities.
Keep it real.
I'm not going to hold you.
Even a real.
I like it. I like the realness.
Keeping it real. Keeping it real.
I will say one guy that
I don't want to hold you guys for too long.
Hold me?
Oh, no,
well, I will be here for forever. What you mean?
I don't want to hold you guys. Thought, I just want to say, but go ahead, Steve. Yeah, go ahead.
I like talking to black people.
Same. It's nice. No.
Yeah.
One dude that doesn't get enough credit for how good he is, and because he's so light-skinned, I feel like sometimes people are like, kind of give him – no, I'm serious, bro.
That's just a funny
thing. Hey, it's real, Steve. It's real.
But GPA up in Chicago, he's black and he's like
– he's so good.
He's super so good. Super underrated. Like, the stuff you see in the ring, like, yeah, he's got all that character work. If you watch, like, his training videos
– that's what you're supposed to have. Character. Bro. That's the important shit. That matters more than the wrestling.
If you can cut a good promo, you have a character, it's done. Like – my moveset really hasn't changed all that much in the last like 2-3 years or so. I mean, yeah, making it, putting it in different places and things like that. But as soon as like I got my jacket, got the mask, got the contacts, dyed my hair, told buddy I don't give a damn no more, then suddenly like I'm this new entity, new being. And it's like, oh, okay. So all I had to do was get that little bit of flash and now y'all respect me. But GPA is one of those guys that he's so humble, so you're not going to see it. But he's got, you know, the brain for it, the mind. He can go, like, race. Somebody definitely want to keep on your radar, too.
Since we're giving it up, and I watched some good wrestling this weekend, Mr. Danger, that young dude, is that so insane. This he's guy scared. Gives me anytime that, like, I could turn into a 12-year-old kid again when I watch wrestling, that's my favorite kind of wrestling. And Mr. Danger makes me feel like a 12-year-old kid because I'm like, one, this is dangerous, but also this is, like, the coolest shit that I've seen in so long. So shout out to Mr. Danger. I've talked about him on a couple times in this podcast. If you haven't seen this guy wrestle, go check him out. He's insane.
I'm telling you, he puts on, like, 15, 20 pounds of muscle. He gonna be a problem. Mm-hmm. He is going to be a problem.
Yeah, he's nuts.
I have a random quick question just for Alex, because there's something that's been pondering in my head for the past couple of months. If you could wrestle anybody from your school, like the entire lineage, anybody from A4 history you haven't wrestled before, who would you wrestle?
Can I give you three?
Yes.
You can, but you have to give me justifications for them. For why you said one.
Okay, so teriyaki, because I know that's going to be, I know that would be a challenge. It would be a nice change of pace for me, because he's so innovative. I was going to wrestle him at the school, but then I was like, I want to get paid to do this.
Save it.
Mm-hmm. Whatever. So that's definitely a match that I want to have. A match that could happen, but whatever. A match I've always wanted was against Theory, just because he's like one of the top prospects to come out of the school.
Yeah.
So I think that match would be fun, especially now. And then who else? I've already wrestled Jay Lucas. Nope, all I got is two right now that I think of. Who out of the A4 would you like to see me wrestle?
Right, literally, like just this second, Travis 3000, because he's about to become my little project. I ain't gonna hold you. He don't know it yet, but he's part of the roster now.
Let's go.
but all time, you and Uha Apollo. That's
that's easy.
Bingo. Oh
yeah,
That's not difficult at all. I mean, I've it's either between him and Gresham, but like at the same time, like the other, like you, it makes too much sense. It would be stupid for me to say anything else.
Well, that'd be fun. Gresham would be fun too.
He's that big meaty man slapping meat. Let's go.
Listen, man, I'm my New Year's resolution is to bring back WCW main event style heavyweight wrestling. Forget all this flips and moves. No offense to you, Steven, but like there needs to be, we need to get back to the root of it all. I'm tired of it. You know what I'm saying? Like there's a time and space for everything, but somebody needs to bring back WCW heavyweight main event style wrestling.
I was gonna say, yeah, this guy just disrespected me on my own show. Don't ever say forget flips. We never forget flips. Flips never are the backbone, the heart and soul of professional wrestling. And I want to see how right, they did a moonsault in his next match. All
right, Chill, you are glazing flips right now. You gotta stop.
Yeah. You must forget. I also slap the shit out of people too. So
you like, hit hard. You know what I'm saying?
Hey,
if you want to bring back the mid to late 90s WCW heavyweight wrestling style, by all means, my brother, be my guest. Oh, I would love nothing more.
Like, damn, all Wolf does is just chokeslam and powerbomb people now. Like, what's going on?
I started chokeslamming people, so we're in there.
I'm 5'10".
This is what I like. These are the improvements I like. Everybody needs to start watching more Psycho Sid. That's all I'm saying. He had
my ankle already busted.
I choked slammed Matt Cardona, and I was like, you know what? This is a good fit. This is a real good fit.
Yeah.
Big black machine.
I like that. I like that. That's fire. No pun intended. That's fire.
Again, don't want to hold you guys forever. So before we get out of here, I want to know where we can see Steven Alex Kane in the next couple weeks, next couple months. What kind of promotions, what kind of matches, what kind of things you guys got going on?
Yeah. My calendar.
My calendar. Yeah,
So this weekend, I'm going to be at Dreamwave in LaSalle, Illinois. It's me.
Alex Shelley, right?
Yes, sir. Me and Alex Shelley. I'm excited. And then after that, the DPW match meet, Pankman, Gringo Loco. It's going to be so much fun. Yeah, man. I'm more than excited for that match, bro.
That's fire.
Me and me, Tankman, Gringo at DPW. After that.
That's the luck.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. That's better than what you said earlier. So I'm
going to say.
And then Inspired New Tech doing a show, me versus Exodus, you know, a little one-on-one brotherly love, a little beat down, you know. And then I'm actually heading over to the UK for a little bit. They're doing some shows over there. And then I'm also going to be part of the 16 Karat Weekend with, But I'll be part of the 16 Karat Weekend with WXW as well.
Nice. Oh, that's fire. Yeah, let's go.
Hell yeah. Congrats, man.
Thank you,
man. Yeah, big moves right there.
Trying, man. 2024, year of the wolf. Trying to make it happen.
Year of the wolf. Well, me and you are going to talk about these international bookings because I have one coming up. I have like a tour coming up, but that's like April. But me and you will talk about that. But this Friday I am taking on the one called Manders. Me and Manders kind of have a little bit of history there, but I'm gonna whoop that ass this time because he's walking in there with a pissed off Alex Kane and a much more focused Alex Kane. February 24th I'll be at Ironheart Pro. So I am wrestling Rampage Santana.
Interesting.
Be good. February 29th, MLW will be back in New York City, Melrose Ballroom, Intimidation Games. I already know who I'm wrestling, but they didn't announce it yet, so I can't tell y'all, but just know I'm whooping that ass.
Yeah, count your days, Brett, man. I don't know if that's who you're wrestling, but I'm just manifesting. Count your days, Brett, man.
And let me not forget. I will be at Pod DC Whoo, boy. I can't remember the name of the show, but it's
Fight for DC. Fight for DC. I'm gonna be there.
I don't know where, but I'm gonna be there.
Fight for DC. I'm taking on Mr. Grimm, a match that everybody and their grandmother have to tell them that they wanted. I will tell you this right now. If he thinks he's about to do all them flips and stuff, as big as he is or whatever, we have to calm that shit down. We're gonna ground him. Teach him a lesson.
Good luck, brother. I don't think so.
I mean,
and J-Rose, go ahead.
Honestly, if it's anything like wrestling Jacob Fatu, then I got it in the bag.
It is.
I'm not worried. Been there, done that. He was Samoan. I got it. This is lightweight.
That man threw me up higher in the air than anybody else. And I've never been so disrespected as a man. And when he just tossed me up after a second, grabbed a drink of water, and then Samoan dropped me. And I was like, just sitting there like, what the fuck? Like,
dog, he, I can't remember what happened in the match itself. I don't know if I needed to hit the ropes or something. This man literally grabbed me by the waist, popped me up or whatever. And I wasn't trying to go with him. He just popped me up, Samoan dropped me. But he also gave me the keys to use the Samoan drop. So, there's also that too.
Honorary Samoan, Alex Kane. Let's fucking go.
You're gonna start typing oos after every single one.
The suplex Samoan.
Nah, Yo, J Rosa, is there any nap news going into this month or what's going on?
Well, how do I put this? So, We gotta have a team meeting. So not everything is put into stone, but we've been having. I've said this on this podcast before. Running in Indianapolis is a struggle because 30 years ago, a bunch of white people messed it up for everyone, and finding a venue that has a tall enough a ceiling so then people like Mr. Wolf can do the things he needs to do is the hardest part about running this promotion. With that being said, we have found a venue, but the date that we would need to run is 18 days away. I'm being as transparent as possible. So we've done more with less. We have absolutely done more with less. But if we do end up running, it will be Sunday, February 25th, somewhere in Indianapolis, somewhere on the east side of Indianapolis. And I can confirm it will be an all black show. So I cannot tell you anything outside of that because I have been fighting for my life for the past month. I cannot tell you anything past that point. But before we go, I would like to, since I know I'm always welcome to be a guest and whatnot, but I would like to start as someone who started out in wrestling media. I would like to give the spotlight to another black creator in wrestling media for every single week that I'm here. First one I want to do, which I'm going to keep plugging them because I'm not going to say they kids because a lot of them, they grown ass men and a lot of them, some of them are older than me, but like the good folks at WrestleWave, I don't know if any of you are familiar with them. If you know who I am, because I'm not trying to make the block hot, if you know who I am, you know what media collectives I used to hang around and the impact or legacy debauchery that we claimed. These gentlemen are the closest thing to restoring that feeling that's out there right now. They are trying to do stuff in the wrestling sphere that hasn't been done before, and they're all people of color. Please go support them at The WrestleWave on all social media. They are absolutely hilarious. And lastly, go support these black wrestling shows. I say at the day before the proposed NAP show, February 24th, if you can't make it in Indianapolis but you live on the East Coast, go to D.C. Go support Pod and Fight Club Pro Wrestling, where Mr. Alex Kane is going to be. Also where our world championship is going to be. Please go support them. For the cultures, motherfucking free this year. There's no reason.
I like, will be there. Yay!
Free for the culture, baby.
There's no reason why you can't be there. There's literally, like, I mean, you know, if you can't make it to Philadelphia, I understand. But there's no reason watching. You know, if you lived in like Idaho, I get it. I understand. You may not be able to make it to Forticulture, but stream it. I know the people. I have no involvement. Hold up. Very important. I don't have involvement on Forticulture anymore. Stop asking if you can get on the show. I don't book the show anymore. I have no pieces of it. Stop DMing me. I do not run the show anymore. I do not run the show anymore. Stop messaging me. But I know the people who do run the show now.
That's it, Billy Dixon.
Yes, Billy Dixon. You know, I didn't want to say it in case somebody was like, I want to get on there, but I don't know who runs it. Well, one, use your context skills a little bit better. But two, I didn't want to put his stuff out there. But yes, I know Billy's been working extra hard. I will be helping out. I don't know, you know, if I'm hosting this year or not.
Billy needs to tell me who I'm wrestling. That's what I
need. We'll talk after this. Just support Black Independent Professional Wrestling. Follow at Naptown All Pro. And stop gun violence in your neighborhood and neighborhoods all across this occasionally great land of ours.
Occasional.
And shout out Ami. I love you.
I love
That's
it.
That's all I got. I ain't got
nothing. The weather's crazy outside, so my internet has been playing wild this whole time. So I'm glad we made it.
Yeah, are you okay?
Before we get out of here, let's get your socials and where people can find you, Steven and Alex.
Go ahead, Steven.
Oh, well, my socials are right there. Yeah, here we go. Ask Stephenwolf 309. Make it super simple. It's on same thing for Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, Threads, TikTok. I'm sure I can make a MySpace if you really want me to, but I'd rather not. But yeah, at Stephenwolf 309, Steven with a PH because I'm fancy like that.
I need to do that. Change all my handles. But on TikTok and Twitter, because we're calling it Twitter, not X. TikTok and Twitter, I am Alex McCain 11. Instagram, I'm the Suplex Assassin. Don't find me on Facebook. I don't know why there's so many friend requests, and I'm definitely not making a MySpace. Alex Kane on YouTube as well. Like, run it up. Follow me. Follow the journey.
Side note: I don't mean to like drag everything on and whatnot, but you just made up a great example right there, yeah. Alex. Stop sending wrestlers Facebook friend requests because you know you don't know who we are personally. I have a fan page that you can follow all of my stuff on that I post all this wrestling stuff. You don't get to see like the little snippet of my dog like running around back here. That's all you're gonna see of my personal life. Like you don't need any. There needs to be a little bit of a barrier, and people need to respect that a little bit more when it comes to, you know, a professional entertainer and their fans. I'm gonna get off my phone.
Like y'all, especially like, I mean, when I started and I had Facebook and stuff like that or whatever, I just thought it was cool. Oh, all these people want to be friends with me or whatever. Yeah, but now I've gotten to a certain level. It's like, dude, you're not buying merchandise. You're probably not coming to the shows that I'm at or whatever. Why are you here? Why are you here? Why are you trying to be friends with me? You're not being a very, very good friend. So cut it out.
Right. Exactly.
The frame that Reg is frozen right now.
I think I'm still here. My internet's being weird.
Upset.
All right. Like, we're going to let you end it before the Mother Nature ended for you.
Oh, I hate that atmospheric river. I want to thank Stephen Wolf for being here. I want to thank Alex Kane for being here. I want to thank my homie J Rolls for co-hosting this with me. You guys have brought some great insight to this. I think the future of the independent wrestling, especially in the black space, is held very high with what you gentlemen are doing, and I appreciate you for joining me here today. Follow my guys. They're doing some amazing things. I'm sure 2024 is going to be big for both of these guys because of the foundation that they laid in 2023. Please. Thank you. I love you. We're getting out of here.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.